Good morning, dear people. Please listen to what our Lord is saying to Daniel. From Daniel 9, 20 to 25. The 77s. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill. While I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in a swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you begin to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. Know and understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Anointed One, the ruler, comes, there will be 77s and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank you. Thank you for this time that we can meet together. Thank you for what you have for us. Lord, ask that you would teach us. Ask that the words that are from you would bear fruit in our lives, that we would return glory and thanks to you because you are worthy. Anything, Lord, that is from my mouth, may it just fall to the ground. Any words that are my words, may they just fall to the ground. But your words, may they be fruit in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're doing a talk on God's Word and the Bible. So the first thing is just think about what does this mean to you? What does the Bible mean to you? What are the thoughts? What are the images? What's your understanding of this book? Don't need answers, but just think about it and have it stored in your memory as a reference. Obviously, because of the title, I believe it's God's Word. And what I've got this morning, or what God's given me, is twofold. One is an encouragement, and I'm keen for that to be the major part, is just to encourage us. The second part is a warning, because I believe in a lot of things, what God does is God says something, and then he gives us the freedom then to believe it or to not believe it. We can act on it or not act on it. But then God holds us accountable for what we believe. So this, right from the start, if we look at Adam and Eve, the first people put on earth, and God said to them, look, you can have this whole garden, you can all this place we can enjoy, and there's this fruit on this tree, don't eat the fruit on this tree. Then Adam and Eve went through doing whatever they do for a time, and then they looked at the fruit. And the enemy comes in, and says, look, you know, did God really say, you know, did God really say if you eat this fruit, you will die? And the enemy puts a question in there. Now there wasn't a voice from heaven that screamed out and said, yes, I did say that. It just, God said it once and then left it. We have a choice to believe it or not believe it. But then God said the consequence of that is that you will die. So that's when sin entered the world. They did eat the fruit, and so then sin entered the world. There's a consequence to what God has said. And that's the warning part. So let's dig through it. What does Scripture say about itself? 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given and inspired by God. What do you think that means to you? What do you think? So my understanding of that is that God has written all the words that are in this book. All the words in here are words that God has written. And I'll talk a bit more about it. But also, Matthew 7:7, we have a promise from God. God's promised that if you seek, you will find. Now, I believe that if you earnestly seek the things that God has written in His Word, if you earnestly seek what God has, He will give it to you. He's promised that you will find it. There's a whole lot of things in here that are not easy to understand, like the verse that Harry read out. We'll get to that, but it's not easy to understand. But God has promised that if you seek, you will find. This is a promise from God Almighty. Now, a little bit more background on this Bible. So there are 2,500 prophecies, just making it easy to remember, 2,500 prophecies. Just think about that. In God's Word, there are 2,500 prophecies. These prophecies, God has said something will happen, and then it's happened. 2,000 of those have already happened. 2,000 of those have already happened. There are 500 that haven't happened yet. So there's still another 500 that we can read about and study and understand. But 2,000 of them have been prophesied about. 2,000 of them have been fulfilled. The ones that have been fulfilled, there are no errors. There's no errors. No errors. None. In those 2,000, no errors. You look at it and you think, that's not human. That's not from us. There's no way that humans can do that. No way we can give 2,000 prophecies with no errors. That doesn't happen. That is this word. That is what God has given us in His Word. So, let's work through some of it. A bit of background. Genesis 1, 1 to 5. So I'll read it the way most of us would read it initially. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless, empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. God said, let there be light. And there was light. God said that the light was good. And He separated the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. There was evening, and there was morning, the first day. So sometimes when we read God's Word, we pass over it and we say, yeah, I've heard that before, and we just, like I said, just pass over it. But let's dig a little bit first. So this is in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I mean, how profound is that? All of heavens and all this earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. So the original text said the earth became formless, but either way, it's formless. And then God said, let there be light. Light. So then God has created the sun. So in our universe, he's put the sun. I mean, that is just profound. All this stuff, as an engineer, my mind, you just get blown to think, how does God do that? And then he called the day, called the light day, and the darkness he called night. It was evening and morning, the first day. So if we look at it, God created all the heavens and all the earth. Then he created the sun. All of this stuff is there. God's created it and it's there, right? But then he created the first day. Let's look at a timeline. Now, there's all the earth and everything's there, but we haven't got time yet. So everything's created in terms of heavens and earth and the sun, but then there was the first day. So then at that point, God's created time. At that point, now he's created time. Time has started after all the world and everything's made. He started the first day. So God has created time. So because God has created time, God is outside of time. It's something that he's created. So he's outside of time. So you look at it. I put a couple of dates on here. The Genesis chapter 1, I put Nehemiah in. Jesus, and then another squiggly line because there's 2,000 years in there, 2,023 years. But then we go to now. But God can see yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He can see all of this at one time. So he can see all of it because it's something that he's created. So he's outside of time. So let's have a look at the Daniel passage that Harry read. Daniel 9. Now, a couple of things stand out straight away. The first thing is, who was the angel that came? It was Gabriel. Who is Gabriel? In the hierarchy of all of the heavenly realms, where does Gabriel sit? He's the head honcho. He's the head honcho. God seems to have an order of things. So in an order of things, he has a hierarchy. So here is Gabriel. Gabriel's a head honcho. He's the top angel. So you look at it and you think, whoa, hang on a sec. This is going to be significant. This is a significant thing. That because the head honcho has come in and he has said to Daniel, who's esteemed, I think, wow, here's a human who is well esteemed. I think, oh, that's pretty cool. And then he said, okay, look, there is these seven sevens and 62 sevens. And you think, why is God talking in sevens? What does sevens mean? You know, but remember, he who seeks will find. So let's have a look at the sevens. Go back to the timeline. We look at the timeline and we have Daniel 9 at 580 BC. Then we've got Nehemiah, who was around with the King Artaxerxes. Now, that's on the 14th of March, 445 BC. On that particular day, the message went out to rebuild Jerusalem. So we know that date. We know that specific date. It went out. Went out, and we can read about it in Nehemiah. And then there is, so you look at it and you say, okay, God, then the timeline starts now on the 14th of March, 445 BC. There are seven plus 62 sevens. So you think, sevens. What are the sevens? So when we start digging, if you look at, there's a lot of ancient world mysteries and prophecies and things and a lot of data that we can dig up. But, next slide, if we look at it, go back, all of our ancient history, all of the early history was set up around 360 days in a year. Everyone, a lot of the early settlers had a calendar that worked for 360 days. So there's 360 days in 1 year. And quite a number of different cultures, different places around the world had 360 days in a year. Now we know today there's 365 and 364 on a leap year. So you think, what's changed? How come we've got, back here, next slide, go back to our timeline again. How come we've got a change, 360 days to 365 plus 4? If you multiply out the 360 days times 7 years, you've got 69 times 7 times 360 days. Next slide. We come up with 173,880 days. So there's that many days between the notice going out to say you're going to be rebuild Jerusalem until your king comes, the anointed one, your king comes. So we look at it and I can come back, because I'm going to run out of time, but I'll come back and explain. 360 days is what started. There were a number of events in history. Joshua was one, Joshua 10, where he said to the sun, stand still until I finish this battle, stand still. So again, you've got the sun sitting still. You've got records of people on the other side of the earth where the sun never came up for a day. Then we've got another thing in Isaiah 38, where King Hezekiah was told that the shadow will go up the stairs. Instead of going down the stairs, it's going to go up the stairs. So there's a number of events where God has changed the way that the earth goes around the sun. And as an engineer, this just blows my mind. You look at it and you say, you know, everyone, all of science, and I love science, but they say, you know, we're just on such a critical path. The way the earth goes around the sun, it is just so critical. Any deviation and we're all finished. Well, there's at least three events between starting of the world, 360 days, to now being 365 and a leap year every 4 years. So God's changed the way the earth has gone around the sun. Now it's different, and there's a whole lot of other things. You can come and ask me after. There's a whole lot of other evidence that backs up that is the change. So now we look at it, 173,880 days until what day? What is that day? What is that day that was prophesied by Daniel? Remember how significant this is. There was one day, obviously it points to Jesus, but there was one day in his life where he allowed everyone to call him king. What was that day? Yeah, this one, Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. Remember, up until then, like in Mark 1, where a demon came out and said, I know who you are. You are the anointed one. And Jesus said, be silent and come out of that man. So Jesus wouldn't allow people to declare him king until that day. That day. That day was when he allowed people to declare him king. Now, what happened on that day? What happened after the triumphal entry, the entry into Jerusalem? Let's have a look at it. Luke 19, 38 to 44. After Jesus has gone into Jerusalem, he's had everyone cheering and everyone laying down their coats and the palms and everything. You've got this amazing day. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he said, "if they keep quiet, the stones would cry out." These stones would cry out because this is such a significant day. This is such a significant day. As he approached Jerusalem and saw over the city, he wept over it. And this is Jesus, after he's done all that, he's gone up on top, looked over Jerusalem, and he's wept. And he said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground and your children within your cities. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." So this day was prophesied about. This day, Gabriel came and gave a vision, gave the prophecy to Daniel. This day, this was the significant day. And Jerusalem missed it. But then, see, God is holding people accountable. God has given us so much. And again, if I look at the parable of the talents or the parable of the bags of gold, you know, he gave one person 10 bags and then expected another 10. Gave another person 5 bags, expected another 5. You know, gave person 1 bag and he hid it. And then he got reprimanded because he hid it. So God, we have been given everything. Now, context, this is not about salvation. I'm not talking about salvation. If you want to know about salvation, that's 1 John 5:11 and 12. Have a look at that and read it. That's a gift from God. That's everything that we have. This is not about salvation. But God holds us accountable for the things that he has done and the things that he has given us. So, my encouragement at the end, to know that this is God's word, God's letter to you. This is what God has written down for you. He declares his love for you in so many ways through this word. So know that he is a God who loves you and has done everything he can to show his love for you. And he's written it down. This book is just an amazing book. Take the time to read it and study it and know how much God loves you and know what God is asking of you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you, praise you and honour you because you are amazing. You are an incredible God. You have made everything. And so we praise you that you have shown your love for us in so many ways. We thank you for that. Lord, we want to be obedient. We want to obey the things that you have asked us to do. We want to do all those things that you've asked us to do. Pray that you would equip us now to go and live this life according to your will and according to what you are calling us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. May it be for your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.